You know, guys, we're in the midst of a series that I'm calling The Greater Whole, Understanding Where You Fit. And you would think that in today's age, that for especially if you grew up in church or been in a part of a church for a long time, you would think that we would know where we fit in church. Well, the problem is I'll be honest with you, a lot of our thinking today about church is wrong thinking, because we've reduced church down to several things. We've reduced it down to a concept that church is just the service on Sunday morning. It's just the service you attend on Sunday morning. And I understand that. In fact, we even say that. Won't you come with me to church? We always think of church as the event or the organization. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever express the church is that way. Church is never described in terms of an event. In fact, the word church, what we use, the English word church, is the word that we use for the Greek word that is assembly. It means a gathering of people. So it means being with the gathering of people. The church is not the worship service. It's not the sermon that I give to you. The church, look around, folks, the church is you. It's people. But the problem is, okay, even though we've got this concept, a wrong concept of what church is, we have a wrong concept of what it means to be involved in the church. And so we think of it in terms of, well, there's a preacher, and then there's elders, and in our church we have trustees, and then there's Sunday school teachers, and then there's nursery workers and ushers. And if you don't fit into any one of those jobs, or of course there's the worship band, if you don't fit into any one of those jobs, then all you're meant to do is just sit and give. That's it. And that's a wrong concept of church. Now, what we're wanting to do with this series, The Greater Whole, is we're wanting to blow apart that wrong thinking and replace it with some proper biblical thinking. Replace it with what the Bible really says about you being a part of the greater whole, about where you fit in. So we're going to try to tackle a couple of things this morning. I'm going to identify a couple of more aspects of wrong thinking. If you have your bulletin, I would encourage you to fill in as we go along. In fact, I would encourage you to get a bulletin. The bulletin always has information there for you about what's going on in our church and contact information and so forth. So let's talk about a couple of things that we have here that's going on with our wrong thinking. Here's the first one. There is a perception that I can't be myself at church. Have you ever noticed that? There's a perception that you and I can't be ourselves at church. That we've got to be somebody different. We almost have to be, I hate to say it, somebody perfect. Do you know what I'm saying? And our church culture in North America has created that atmosphere, because we have in our mind what being spiritual is. And if you're a spiritual person, you act this way, you talk this way, you even dress this way. You know, I'm constantly amazed all the time. I have a friend, I love him very dearly. He'll post things sometimes on Facebook, and I don't ever respond. But I want to, and it talks about dressing up in your best for church. And I can remember having that attitude about dressing up best for church. Remember, I think I shared with you before about when Lori and I first got married. She went to a church over near Spicksburg, PA, and I came from the South, and first Sunday, I'm wearing a suit. We go to her church over there near in Spicksburg, and she's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to church, wearing my suit. Well, you don't need to wear that. Well, yeah, I do. I need to dress my best. We go to that church, and the only person wearing a suit was me and the preacher. Because she went to a church filled with dairy farmers, and do you know what I'm saying? Just average people. But where did that, we've got this concept, we've got this wrong thinking that, and that's all part of it, that I can't be myself. So I got to watch how I dress, how I talk, how I think. I got to be careful. And a lot of you, and if you're here today and you're this way, I feel sorry for you. You're on your guard while you're here. Because you feel you can't be yourself. Because here's the thing. You want to know that you're accepted. It's interesting. You know, I do a lot of reading. And one of the things I read about the response of visitors when they come. Do you realize that visitors make the decision about coming to a church within the first 15 minutes of being here? First 15 minutes. So they make their decision about whether or not they come before they even hear the preacher. Now, that's not true every case, but that most of the cases, what do they look at? Two things. Can I relate to the music? And number two, is everyone else like me? That's the one I want to focus on. Is everyone else like me? Why? Because we have this perception in church that I can't be myself. And so you want to look, can I be myself with this group of people? That's important to us. And that will determine whether or not you're involved in a church. Okay, first wrong thinking. First wrong thinking. The perception is I can't be myself. Here's the second one. This is coupled with the thought that I have nothing to offer the church. The second thing is it's coupled with the thought that I have nothing to offer the church. So I can't sing, or I don't make a lot of money, so I can't give, or I don't have time to be involved with like the oil change, or be involved with making sandwiches for this event that's coming up. So I really have nothing to offer. And to be honest with you, let me just stop for a moment. It goes beyond just looking at your resources. Some of you may have the wrong thinking in terms of I have nothing to offer, not because of what you have as far as resources, but because of your perception of yourself. What do you mean by that? I have nothing to offer because I messed up. And fill in the blank as far as what you mean by that. I have nothing to offer. And for years, we almost said to divorce people, not almost, we kind of said to, we did say to divorce people, there's nothing for you to do here. Just come and give. Yeah. See the wrong thinking of that? And you see why people have this, whether it's because of their resources or because of the baggage they carry from the past, they have this thought that I have nothing to offer to the church. That, listen to me, folks, both of those are lies straight out of the pit of hell. They are lies straight out of the pit of hell. So I want you to think for a moment of how defeating that is for you and how defeating that is for the church. See, it's okay, George, how do we tackle this wrong thinking? Well, we want to look at what the Word of God says. We're going to look today at a passage. It deals with a topic of spiritual gifts. In particular, they were having a problem with spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church, understanding it. But out of the overall discussion, we can get some thoughts to guide us through the issue that we're talking about here about how important you are to the church. And I'm going to tell you this, just in the side of your notes there as you're writing, I told you this last week. I want you to write it down again because you need to write it down. And here's what it is. Here's the statement I want you to write down. You are important to the church. You are important to the church. Here's the second statement I want you to write down. The church cannot function without you. The church cannot function without you. So let me say that again. Number one, you are important to the church. Number two, the church cannot function without you. Now, let me just stop for a moment. In both of those statements, there's not an asterisk there. There, you know, you ever listen to the news when they do, the commercials on the radio, and they got some guy that comes on with a super fast voice that's telling you all the lawyer gibberish about who it's not supposed to be for? I can't speak that fast because there is no lawyer gibberish. There is no exception to what I'm saying to you. You are important to the church, and the church cannot function without you. Do you understand? I'm talking about you. Every single one of you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You are important to the church, and the church cannot function without you. Why do you say that, George? Well, because what we're going to see today, and that's the title of our message, I alluded to it last week, is that the church is diverse unity. Diverse unity. It almost sounds like an oxymoron, a contradiction. How can you have that unity and diversity? My friends, that's what the church is. Diverse unity. In fact, he's going to point it out to us here in this passage. So I want you to notice with me, we're going to look at verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Look at what he says, verse 4. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Here's what we're going to see, folks. We're going to see, first of all, the issue of unity. In our diversity, there is unity. We're going to see what really unifies us. Then we're going to see the issue of diversity. Because the fact of the matter is, and aren't you glad for this, we're not all alike here. Aren't you glad for that? We don't look alike. We don't act alike. My goodness, aren't you glad for that? You know what I'm saying? We don't all root for the same team. We'd like for everybody to root for the same. We'd like for everybody to vote the same way, but we don't. We're all different here. And that is our strength. Because every one of you is important, and we can't function without you. So let's look at it together. Let's look at the unity. We see it in verses 4 through 6.